Çağırı, meydan mazana, nasıl çağırmalı bas, malı be. Sen nasıl, sadece kızım olsaydı, çöyde, bakın çubuğun sürecini yalayacağına, denil tuttuğu gire, yalayamayacağını denil tuttuğu meyicir var.
So the going for refuge is like going to a doctor's office, where so we go have our body checked out and diagnosed and by a doctor, and then the doctor tells us to do this and do that and take this medicine or that medicine, and then if we take the medicine, then we can be purified of our negativities. Likewise, if we engage in the practices. Of abandoning the 10 non-virtues and so forth, the practices which abandon the 10 non-virtuous activities and so forth, then it's like the example that was just given where we're able to rid ourselves of the negativity by following the advices.
Mugujumun sujin kanto chito sun, sun matu na debal shadan jaya. Wa te chibu chungu lansi kinti imare, tenrul jaya. Sanji ka wate, chiru tu lhata mali jaya deba yuba yina, anna wate kunju sula chao sun tu yuku ne, ne mugujumun sujin tenru ilan, anna wate nyalai che matu debal shadan jaya. Wate sun di samare.
So these are the practices called the pathways to the higher realms. Going for refuge, the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and then if one engages in a negativity, acknowledging that downfall or acknowledging that negativity. So by relying upon these practices, one is able to achieve a rebirth into the higher realms of cyclic existence. And when we look at the teaching shared in common with beings of small capacity, if we look at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment under the major heading of training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of small capacity, we find three categories: the actual training of thought of a person of small capacity, the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity, and dispelling misconceptions related to a person of small capacity. And we get to the first category, the actual training of thought of a person of small capacity. We find two categories: developing the state of mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives, and then relying on a means for achieving happiness in one's next life.
Please, one.
That's good. So in the second category, the reliance on a means or a method for achieving happiness in one's next life, we find the method or the means, and then we're referring to two categories: refuge, and then the second category. First category is refuge, and the second category, karma and its results. So when we look at the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment in the section on refuge, we find four categories. And everything in here is very, very summarized, very abbreviated, but it's contained within. So the topic of refuge that we look in its more expanded fashion in the Lamrim Chemo has 4 points. In the more expanded version in Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find 4 points. First, the causes for going for refuge. Second, based on that, the objects to which you go for refuge to. Third, how to go for refuge. And fourth, precepts of refuge, or the advices related to refuge.
Hmm.
So this section, we went over it, and if you go over it and become familiar with it, then you'll understand it well. So we went a lot. We went over a refuge in quite detail already. So that section deals with refuge and then karma and its results. So we're going to now go over the section on karma and its results according to the text. Then when we get to the section on karma and its result in the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find that it's called developing the faith and conviction that is the root of all temporary happiness and certain goodness. And then when we find the divisions in this section, we find 3 points. Reflecting on karma and its effects in general, reflecting on karma and its effects in detail, or with specifically, and then the last category of how you engage in virtue and turn away from non-virtue after you have reflected on karma and its effects in general and in detail. So then when we get to the first category, of the actual way in which we reflect in general, we find that there are 4 points that are made. So it says this explanation is divided into the actual way in which you reflect in general, and then reflecting on the distinctions among the varieties of karma, reflecting on the distinctions of the variety of karma. So in that section, we're on page 210, so I'm just checking something right now, but it's fine. So, and under the section, reflecting on karma and its effects in general, we can divide it into two, the actual way in which you reflect in general, and reflecting on the distinctions among the varieties of karma. So that's the two categories under the karma and its effects in general, not to be, in case I did, confused with the first category, that we went over, which is the major heading, developing the faith and conviction that is the root of all temporary happiness and certain goodness. And there are 3 categories that deal with that. Reflecting on karma and effects in general, reflecting on karma and effects specifically, and then the last point of after you have reflected on karma and its effects in general and specifically how you engage in virtue and turn away from non-virtue. So those are different categories, just in case I confuse that in my speaking. So the first category, which is the actual way in which to reflect in general, has 4 points or 4 categories that are made. It says the certainty of karma, the magnification of karma, not experiencing the effects of actions you did not do, and that the actions that you have done do not perish. So those are the 4 categories under that first heading, the actual way in which you reflect in general.
Magawale, magi debutla, dungenge bare, magawale, Less so.
So when we go to this section in the source of all my good, it says, help me find sure knowledge that after I have died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me. So this section, it's really the white or black and what those deeds will bring to me. So here, we begin with the explanation of karma relating to the certainty of karma. So karma, if we look at virtuous actions or virtuous karma, virtuous actions necessarily cause feelings of happiness. Non-virtuous actions necessarily cause suffering feelings, feelings of suffering or suffering. Virtue certainly causes feeling of happiness. Virtue certainly does not cause feelings of suffering. Non-virtue certainly causes feelings of suffering. Non-virtue certainly does not cause feelings of happiness. So we look at it in two ways, the certainty which it does produce and the certainty that it doesn't produce. So virtue certainly producing happiness, certainly not producing suffering. Non-virtue certainly producing suffering, certainly not producing happiness. So this is the point on the certainty of karma section, and the white or black and what those deeds will bring to me. Follow always close behind as certain as my shadow, so the certainty of those deeds.
Dwa tana nyawa tanya dhuzule ya lungsabu dhani yungne sangsang chibite yungwa dhani mendoa. Tengye chi nguwa gwa sabi dhebo res, dhiba le dwa yungne yungwa res. Wate shi dhmarbe, wate kutu lojana.
So the certainty of karma, all happiness and the sense of feelings of ease, whether of ordinary or noble beings, including even the slightest pleasures, such as the rising of a cool breeze for a being born in hell, arises from previously accumulated virtuous karma. It is impossible for happiness to arise from non-virtuous karma. So this first point that's made is for beings, whether they are ordinary beings or they are Aryas or superior beings, all have this in common. Whenever they experience any kind of sense of feeling of ease, so here the sense of feeling of ease is referring to feelings of happiness. So whenever they experience any kind of happiness or a feeling of happiness, it says all happiness in the sense of feelings of ease, whether of ordinary or noble beings, including even the slightest pleasures such as the rising of a cool breeze for a being born in hell, arises from previously accumulated virtuous karma. It is impossible for happiness to arise from non-virtuous karma. So in the hot hell realm, there are times where there might be a cool breeze that gives a moment that's pleasant, or a feeling of ease, or a happy feeling. That moment is caused by virtuous karma. These moments of happiness, of happy feelings, are necessarily caused by virtuous karma, as are all the feelings of happiness that beings who are ordinary and noble experience.
Kui pumbu tuyue jimi ngani yomot pumbu suna, dachumbaro.
So in the case of the feelings of happiness, non-virtuous karma can never give rise to this. It is always virtuous karma. When we look at the example of feelings of suffering or feelings of suffering, and even those that are experienced by a foe destroyer. So for instance, when a being achieves the state of foe destroyer, he or she has abandoned the afflictions, but he or she may still have the body of cyclic existence, or the cyclic existence body. And this body was brought about by karma and the afflictions. So if this remainder is still present, so if the foe destroyer or the arhat has this remainder of the aggregates of samsara, then he or she can still experience the various forms of suffering, such as a headache. So when we look at the various types of suffering, the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and pervasive compounded suffering, all of these sufferings are brought about by non-virtuous activities. They never have arisen from virtue. All the sufferings in the sense of painful feelings, including even the slightest suffering occurring in an arhat's mind stream, arise from previously accumulated non-virtuous karma. It is impossible for suffering to arise from virtuous karma. And then, so where do we find a source for this? Who said this? And then we look to Nagarjuna's precious garland for inspiration. So the precious garland says, from non-virtues come all sufferings, and likewise all miserable realms. From virtues come all happy realms, and the joys in all rebirths. So here then it speaks of things not arising from incompatible causes, causelessly, or from a divine creator or a primal essence, or a primal essence. So consequently, happiness and suffering do not occur in the absence of causes, nor do they arise from incompatible causes, such as a divine creator or a primal essence. Rather, happiness and suffering in general come from virtuous and non-virtuous karma, and the various particular happinesses and sufferings arise individually without even the slightest confusion from the various particular instances of these two kinds of karma. So the various arisals of happiness and suffering cannot occur without among the two types of karma, virtuous or non-virtuous karma. If virtuous and non-virtuous karma, virtuous or non-virtuous karma aren't present, then happiness or suffering can't be produced. So we say that happiness and suffering are not causeless. What's the fault of saying that they're causeless?
Jumel ᱱᱟ ᱥᱟᱡᱤᱜ ᱛᱩᱡᱩᱞᱮᱭᱟ ᱫᱩᱝᱜᱮ ᱭᱚᱥᱱᱟ ᱡᱤᱜᱨᱵᱮᱥ ᱪᱩᱜᱩ ᱢᱟᱨᱚᱥ ᱡᱩ ᱪᱩᱞᱤᱢ ᱡᱩ ᱢᱮᱵᱟᱞᱮ ᱡᱚᱢᱟ ᱤᱢᱮᱥ ᱚᱫᱮᱭᱟᱱᱟ ᱫᱚᱣᱟ ᱛᱩᱛᱟ ᱫᱩᱭᱚ ᱵᱟᱛᱟᱥ ᱡᱩ ᱢᱮᱵᱟᱞᱮ ᱡᱚᱢᱟ ᱤᱢᱮᱥ ᱭᱟᱱᱟ ᱫᱚᱣᱟ ᱛᱩᱛᱟ ᱫᱚ ᱢᱮᱵᱟᱛᱟᱱ ᱡᱩ ᱢᱮᱞᱮ ᱡᱚᱢᱟ ᱤᱢᱮᱥ ᱚᱫᱮ ᱛᱟ ᱫᱩᱭᱚ ᱵᱟᱦᱚ ᱢᱮᱵᱟᱞᱮ ᱡᱚᱥ ᱚᱫᱮ ᱨᱤᱵᱟᱜ ᱫᱩᱫᱤ ᱢᱟᱨᱮ
ᱥᱚ If there is no cause, then we look at happiness and suffering. And if we assert that things are causeless, then happiness, for instance, would have to always be occurring if it was not caused by something. So it would have to be always occurring, happiness. And that isn't the case. And if we look at the truth of suffering, Buddha stated that this is the superior truth of suffering. If it wasn't caused, then it would be always present, this suffering itself. It would be there. So the consequence to this is that there wouldn't be any arisal. It would be perpetually always happening if there were causeless, happiness and suffering.
Tao de shi zu le ji ge de shi ru zhang jian bo de zhang jian bo.
Less so.
Zhang jian bo ge xie jia ni shu zang a yin na sa ji jia ma de. No wo de ju zu de shi zu zu ge de yin se ta. San ta de bu na ne gu ge sa de ge sa bu ge na lu le de ge ni gu ge bu de yo de. Mi ma tu ba de ma tu de yo de de. Wo de shi zu le ji ba yin ju da ni le ji ba yin se wo de se de ta. What this Saguya is not done to Karsu over there. She tools against the Chis Lava Isuza, Matum Julius Marbe, She tole, Chudjil Marota. She tole what they dig Sabung to you, dig home to Yana? No bomb sees you to dig home to Yasa Kuja. Yana, the palette on two bottles in our rule, me madam two bottles over tas. What is Shantin Deva? And the Patriot travels with Tom Marveda Shantin Deva. Cesar Mazansa and Jurus. Cesar Mazansa Shantin Deva again, Juru, Palace at the Tuba Sartas. Tuba Nalu, Mima Tuba Diedro. What the town? Cesar Mazansa and Jurus. That Romaji, Lombuji Jajiagi, never you can Tomat, the Sakon Rita, Sakon the launching Jayo with us. Jajiagi, never you can Tomat, you be sure.
Then they did Dayan Da, the Jutsun, the Pelden, the Jewa Shima Lamboche, Jewa Ngama Lamboche, the
Tatumaji Lamboche.
So this is the point of things, the problem with things not being caused. If we look at the next point from a primal essence, general essence, something, it's translated a lot of different ways. I've looked into this. So primal essence is referring to things being created from self. And here also it's an incompatible cause. So here the Samkhya tradition, or the enumerators, assert that all objects of comprehension can fall into 25 categories, sometimes enumerated as 24, and that this primal essence is what gives everything its ability to arise as this or that. It is stated that the result is present. The Samkhya state that the result is present within the cause. They state that a seed has within it existing a sprout already, but you just can't see it. But there is the existence of a sprout already, and in the form of an essence or essential. There's a technical term for this, but it means that it is abiding. You can't see it, and it's abiding within the cause already. The result is. So this nature of abiding already is negated by Shantideva and negated by Dharmakirti and their statement that if this is true, then bread already has filth within it. So since the bread produces filth or feces, then the bread has feces present within it already. And then also another consequence is that if an ant is going to have, I've probably translated this wrong in the past, going to have 100 future rebirths as an elephant, is that ant currently standing on a blade of grass along with 100 elephants? So this is another consequence to that logic that's stated in scripture. And this one of the ant and 100 elephants standing on a blade of grass, we find in Dharmakirti's Pramanavartika Karika. They state, though, that this exists in there. This is these things do exist in there. So if you say on that piece of grass there are 100 elephants, and the person says yes, if they say there are 100 elephants, then everyone will laugh, will they not? So then this harms the tenet. This is a harmer of the tenet, meaning this assertion of the 100 elephants harms that tenet. So when you say this, they can't assert that this is true, because they assert that this exists in there. But then when you say this, they can't assert that this is it. This is self. So then Shantideva is saying, so when you're eating bread, you're eating feces, you're eating filth, filth, but it means feces, filth. You're eating filth. So this stops the Samkhya tradition, the enumerators.
Less so.
So in the case of moving on from that to a divine creator, in the case of those who believe in the creator Shiva creating, so here this categorically falls in an incompatible cause or a non-concordant cause. So, because we find that causes have to be concordant with their results, just like if we look at two different things. If we look at rice, when we plant a rice seed, a rice sprout comes up. A mango sprout does not come up. When we plant a mango seed, a mango sprout comes up. A rice seed doesn't come up because the cause has to be concordant with its result. In this case, Shiva creating everything, creating all things, does not make the results concordant with their cause, or does not make the results, what do they use here, compatible with their cause. So if Shiva causes everything, then the results are not compatible with the cause that of Shiva. So this negation here does also negate other religious traditions, such as the Christian tradition, and other creator God traditions, such as the Muslim tradition. So in Christianity, we say God creates, and in the Muslim tradition, there's a statement that Allah is the creator, and so forth. So here, this negates those views also. So the Christian tradition states that God created the world, and this creates some kind of peace of mind for people to feel this. But Buddhists don't assert that this is true. So this is the point of the certainty of karma. Jutsu Je. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. So now we're going to the magnification of karma. So the magnification of karma deals with this. When we look at cause and effect, if we look at it from the outside sense, when we see this type of occurrence, we find in a tree, for instance, the tree's cause and its result in an outside sense. But if we look at internal magnification, we find that the internal magnification is much greater than that of external causation. So we find that the magnification is much larger than found in external cause and effect. So we're going to go to page 211, number 2, the magnification of karma. In effect, the magnification of karma, an effect of immense happiness may arise from even a small virtuous karma. An effect of immense suffering may arise from even a tiny non-virtuous karma. Hence, internal The karmic causation seems to involve a magnification that is not found in external causation. Moreover, it is said in the collection of indicative verses, like a poison that has been ingested, the commission of even a small sin creates in your lives hereafter great fear and a terrible downfall. So even a small amount of non-virtue creates a large amount of suffering in one's future lives. It says, and when grain ripens into a bounty, even the creation of small merit leads in lives hereafter to great happiness and will immensely be immensely meaningful as well. So here this is showing that even a small amount of virtue will create a great amount of happiness in future lives. And previously, a small amount of non-virtue creates a great amount of suffering in future lives.
So a
small amount of virtue gives rise to a great amount of happiness. How is this possible? What is a proof or a reason behind this? And we find in the previous stories of Buddha Shakyamuni, where there was once a girl who gave an offering of food to Buddha Shakyamuni. And Buddha prophesies that she would then, because of this offering, because of this virtuous activity, become a Pratchika Buddha as a result of this. And the woman's husband had some doubts and said, don't say this, you must be lying. It can't be possible. How is it possible that this small amount of virtue, this offering of just giving the Buddha some food, could give rise to this huge result? How is it possible? Is this real or is it a lie?
Then the Sanji go to jagal shin nandu das shin kamba mobiyo ke jemu do the shin nandu da chabi chabi shibe wasa imendo ah and the shin nandu da ti udle shin tanga jaja tuos.
So the Buddha said that I'll give you an example of magnification externally. If you look, you can see this large tree. This large tree that's shadow, so it's a specific tree that's very large. This large tree's shadow could cover 500 chariots, but its cause is a very small seed the size of a mustard seed. So you can see external cause and effect in the magnification based on this. Internal is much, magnification is much greater. So he gives the example of a small seed making a very large tree, and the tree is so large that its shadow can cover 500 chariots, and it's showing the magnification externally, and then saying internal magnification is greater.
And the Sanji Ginetu, Galontan to the show the Jeruda. Then the Mosanji Menu are the Queen Jubilees. And the Queen Pombat about Queen Samazu, and the Nal Chutamalu, and the Nal Sega Tonses in the Sega Chimersi, Sage Tenolulu, and Kaji Tosjana, Gendil Purvis.
So then there's a story. Then Konso the Shupo. So then there's a story of two people who didn't have much to offer, but made an offering to the Buddha, to the Sangha after the passing into Nirvana of the Buddha. So this couple, these two people, made an offering of a gold coin. They took a pot, an offering vegetable pot, and they cleaned it up very well. They filled it with water, and they put a small gold coin in it, and then covered it, and made an offering of it to the Sangha jewel. And it stated that in all of their future lives, they would have a beautiful form and be rich. So then in the future they were born in India, Rinpoche said as boy or girl, not sure, and they had this well that would bring the water up from the ground, and it would also bring them whatever they desired as far as gold or silver. So it would, as a result of this virtuous activity, they were able to have this well that not only had water, but gold and silver. So whatever they wished would come from this well. And then the story also goes that, I'm not sure if it's the boy or the girl, this is a couple, a story, in the story it's a couple, this person began to listen to the Buddha's teachings and develop understanding of them, and in that lifetime achieve the state of foe destroyer. And then there's also a story of a monk who would go out and beg for alms, and he would beg for alms for others. He would get food and then bring it back to those who were studying or not able to go out, so they wouldn't have to break their studies and go out and beg for alms. So he would bring food back to them. And it stated, as a result of this deed, he would never in future lives have problem with money again and achieve the state of foe destroyer quickly. Achieve the state of foe destroyer as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the story of a small child who was on the beach and encountered Lord Buddha and had nothing to offer, but offered a handful of sand to the Buddha. And this handful of sand, Buddha was able to transform into a painting substance and paint an entire temple with it. And it's stated that this offering made this child be born as King Ashoka. So these are examples of a small virtue giving rise to a great amount of result. And then when we look at the small non-virtue giving rise to a large amount of happiness, if we look at the magnification in that way, we can relate it to the story of Manakavila, Kapila, I believe, who insulted the community of learners and non-learners in 18 different ways. So he made negative statements to them in 18 different animal names and so forth, and as a result was born as a monstrous sea creature with 18 heads and had to abide in that state or in that way from the time of Buddha Kashyapa all the way until Buddha Shakyamuni. So we see this example of the magnification of non-virtue. During the time of Buddha, the Buddha arrived at this place where this sea creature was, where people were all fishing. And this sea creature was brought in at this fishing area, and the Buddha blessed its mind to be able to engage in a conversation. And the Buddha asked this creature, why are you in this position that you're in? Why are you this creature? And then because of the blessing of the Buddha, the creature was able to say, I insulted the community of learners and non-learners during the time of Buddha Kashyapa, and I called them different names such as horse head, elephant head, etc. And as a result of this negativity, I was born as this monstrous sea creature. And then Buddha asked, who is your teacher? Who taught you to do this? And he stated that my mother did. My mother told me to say these things to the community of learner and non-learners. So then Buddha said, where is your mother now? And the creature said, my mother has been born in hell. So the mother had this attachment. She said, go and insult the community of learners and non-learners. She had ordered him to do this. Because the mother's thinking was really bad, was really negative, she was born into the hell realm. But because Manakavila, Kapila, was ordered to do this, and really, his mother told him he had to do this, he really didn't have the desire to do it, because of this, just the action was completed, and it was a small amount of non-virtue, and this is why he was born as an animal, and the mother born in hell, because of the motivation or the thinking behind it is different. Then do you go for refuge in me? The Buddha stated this to this creature, and the sea creature stated, yes, I go for refuge in you, and then as a result was born into the God's realm. So we can see how, because of refuge, misdeeds were purified, and then this being was born into the higher realms, the God's realm. So then this animal, sea creature had to abide because of this in these insults that he made to the community of learners and non-learners, 18 different insults, had to abide for a very many, many billions of years. What is the number of years? If we look at the time frame between Buddha Kashyapa and Buddha Shakyamuni, we see the many, many years that this being had to stay like this. So we see how the internal result is much stronger. So we don't see a tree that has many billions of years. We don't see this many billions of years, this tree that has this this result, many billions of years of a result. Like external phenomena, like a tree, we don't see with this amount of a result, this many, many years.
Okay.
And then there's a story of a monk who was engaging in meditation, and others were engaging in recitation and so forth, study and recitation. So he was trying to meditate, became very frustrated that they were making this noise and disturbing him. So he went out and said, it doesn't sound like you're reciting anything. It sounds like you're like frogs, making noises like frogs, beep, 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 making these noises. And as a result of saying this disparaging remark, he was born as a frog 500 times. This is what is meant by this magnification. And in the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find a lot of stories that are cited, a lot of examples of stories that are cited.
Chupas, chupa, dajumba chupa zayadige, sanji kato karuru zayaji imare. Kato karuru zayaji ka imala, dajumba te karuru zayabatele, son lagres.
Less so. Then this quote from the collection of indicative verses, the collection of indicative verses is a text that after the time of Buddha, when the Buddha passed into Nirvana, the foe destroyers got together in councils and gathered the various statements that the Buddha made. And this text, the collection of indicative verses, is a collection of the statements that the foe destroyers witnessed or heard and then wrote down. Into a collection. So they had a council, the foe destroyers got together and collected these verses and put it into this text. And we find this in the Kangjur. So then it says, unless we go into the Kangjur, we don't have many of these stories. So here it says, become certain about how great effects may arise from small actions by studying the narratives of past events presented in texts such as the basis of discipline, the Sutra of the Wise and Foolish, the Hundred Actions Sutra. For example, there are the stories from the basis of discipline about the herdsman Nanda and the frog beaten by his staff. So there's a herdsman who beats a frog in one of these stories, and then there are results that come from it. And then the goose, the fish, the 500 tortoises, the 500 hungry ghosts, the farmer, the 500 bulls, and from the story, the Sutra of the Wise and the Foolish, the accounts of Suvarna Devata, Suvarna Vasu, and Hastipala.
Tan du zanlin leyan loju mo gwe sa rwa. Du zanlin. Kama daran sa lindu zanlin pesha tuyendu lokal yore. Tan du ba te kanju no lu si namad raga mo duwa. Kacha te zikha mo duwa ta. Kacha kadu kadu pesha mi duyena lan de baro. Che wasi songu nanji. Pesha pesha te yin nal pesha te yin duyes. Mi ta sha yena. Si de baro. Pesha tuyena anga mo duwa ta.
So we have it's difficult to ascertain the meaning of this, but in the Sutra of the Wise and the Foolish, we find many stories that are given, but the words are difficult to understand the meaning of, and we don't have the texts over here aren't labeled in a way that we can just find the kanji, the beche, the sen, yo marbe.
Kanji beche no lo anga shatare anga. Anga ta no de ra no de no lo me kam do.
Me kanji sen anga nge da sun de sen yo mare.
Yo mare shata.
Yeah, there's numbers, but there's not the name of the texts in our collection.
What the jima na su kale de tu ras mo na kale lo je res.
So slowly in the future, if we can look through them, we can find out which one it is. And then the stories are very similar. The stories that we'll find are very similar. And the Amdo, the Shama
Pandita.
And the Shama Pandita's Lam Rim, we find many stories also.
What the Shama Pandita, this
it states in there that there are many stories to support this this magnification principle.
Ta jian ya, jian zu tian dan chu ga dan, chua dan dawa ji le shi dawa ji le, shema ma jian xin, hama sun, yong su da ba, ne zuba ma ji ba, ne cha, gari. ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょっと待って、ちょ jibi kada ma tuwa, mungiwa. Tuwa san na lu zeng a pongwa, cham tang tu tuwa zang, lubi tuwa mayba tingba, tuwa zang se de, tuwa se lu zui, lu zui se lu zui. Tawa ta tingba re, jundi ki tawa tingji ro ta, nide nga ta pi tawa ya. Kanan lele shishin tangba shiku tawa tingji re. Jile shima manya shin sa, tawa tu manya shin, nama sun yung su taba, zuba maje ba changare, nyaba chuba nama sa. Tawa tu manya ba shi, sanji li ichi ki tiba yu ba shi, ichi li tiba, lende li ichi tiba yu na, ana nama chutin tang, chuga tang, tsua wa tisu, changare nyaba ina ya, Nyawaljiga maris, luljiga slo, nangaljiga.
So then it says, furthermore, choka.
Choka is interesting. Choka.
That's fine.
Ranji kana matuwa ta, chibi kana matuwa sa, nishi gata. Ranji kana matuwa sa na, and Ranji kana matuwa sa na, Chimba jina dibare, tabi jina dibare, Raji kanama dosa.
Okay.
The Messi na, Chimba jina dibare, tabak jina dibare, Raji kanama dosa. Chibi kanama dosa na, Chanton segurata, Chanton na, Tabasul tua yore madu, Chindal tua kayo marwa, tua kayo marwa, Chibi wonki. Chibi wangi nyeba yungo rota. Shinji chukuma sanji jeba yudu, Shinji suna nyeba yungo rota. Shinji suna nyeba yudu. Watake tishiya tishadi imare.
Tiche. So then it says, furthermore, there are those who have partially lapsed in these four things. Ethical discipline, rituals, livelihood, and philosophical view. That is, they have not at all lapsed in the latter, but have not completely accomplished pure forms of the former three. The Buddha said that such people will be born as Nagas. So it says a partial lapse. So if there has been they have not at all lapsed in the latter, but have not completely accomplished pure forms and of the former three. So here, ethical discipline is referring to the ethics, for instance, the four roots. So the four root abandonments, abandoning killing, abandoning stealing, abandoning lying, sawaji, the suchupa, gumagua, zunsheba, jipagare, zansha, Mizanshu, and also sexual misconduct. So these are the four, the root four. So here, ethics is talking about the root four ethics. The ethics is talking about the root four, no killing, no stealing, no lying, and no sexual misconduct. Rituals is speaking of those things which are uncommon. So this word ritual, I want to look it up and see if there's an alternative to it. But Rinpoche is saying that there are things that are common for lay people and for monks and nuns, and things that are uncommon. They're almost prescriptive, things that are not things that are not to do if you're a householder or ordained, and then there are things that you are not to do if, for instance, you are an ordained person. And I'm using this word as a householder, not as a householder vow. Just I want to make that clear. If you're just a person who's not a monk or nun, and you're a Buddhist, so the common things are the abstaining from the non-virtuous activities and so forth. The uncommon things would be, for instance, a monk or nun is not to drink alcohol. A monk or nun is told not to cut down a tree. So these are things that are uncommon and advices that are given to the monastic. So rituals here is referring to among those things that are stated of what not to do. So lapsing, partially lapsing in ethical discipline is referring to any among those root four. The rituals referring to the uncommon laws, if you will. And then livelihood, referring to the secondary type things, the right livelihood, such as it says not to gamble, not to drink alcohol, and so forth. So we used the translator's note, alcohol, twice, but it was used twice, so just so it doesn't look like it's confused. So livelihood here is speaking of the right way of living, for instance, not drinking alcohol and so forth is an example. And philosophical views are referring to the view of, for instance, of cause and effect, the karma and its results, and so forth. So obviously, as a note, the opposite would be to not believe in causes and its result, to not have the correct philosophical views. So it says here, if you have partially lapsed, you won't be born into the hell realm. You'll be born as a naga if there's a partial lapse of these things. So there's a story of an ordained monk who hit his head on a tree, and he knew what was stated by Buddha Shakyamuni not to cut the tree. He became very angry at the tree and said, if the tree is going to hit me, I'm going to hit the tree, and cut the tree down in a fit of anger. And it said that he would be born as a being with a tree growing out of his head until the time of Lord Maitreya as a result of this.
Louis Botan, Louis Beaumont, da, Nuan Jute, da, John, kunyonga jorores ane ngal khojira mundu lu nyonyores tonden de tane jatu chimbe na na lu ta lu pomo ta ja de ter tsema chete pemezi momores ta tsema chete taji tatuba menu la nas tonden de la jo ju gala chen galas tonden de katse ba lu ombu kanda leba sombi chun doa leba je chun doa rodu jone tsuri taba yonzo tuba maji de sa taba chen tsuri ab mazumba che chuga nyaba da tsua nyaba da tsuri nyaba na yonzo tuba maji la tada ki tawa yang tamur chu des sinje nyawa nasu maji shibene lui chene su chiwa ju de she zong su su ta kansi lui jabu de go sanji li shui ne ane ngama sanji kuwa ji jine shenbu ko su lui potampo mu nyonyo res tinsano lui potampo pimezi mu res tesu ju kar res jen kar res du chuga dan tsujin dan tsua dan tawa su taga tama ji she zong tawa ma nyaba tama tu su nyaw na ya kutu nyawal che guwa ma res lu lu chen guwa res lu tawa tu ma nyaw lende la yi chibi yi chi ki teba tu yuwa ina ku nyawal che guwa ma ya ba rita tsa yu tunga tang chuga tang tsua tu nyaba ina watu su lu lu che guwa res ta te yu su chu lu mamba cha ta res ta chaba tu su lu cha
So it says, Bhagavan. So here we have questions of the Naga, kings of the ocean. It says, Bhagavan, in the beginning of the aeon, I lived in the great ocean, and the Tathagata Krakachanda was in the world. This is the first Buddha. At that time, the Nagas and their sons and daughters within the great ocean had become few, and even I had a reduced retinue. Now, Bhagavan, the Nagas and their sons and daughters within the great ocean are immeasurable, and their numbers have no limit. O Bhagavan, what are the causes and conditions for this? It says, and the Bhagavan said, O Lord of Nagas, there have been those who have renounced the world and went forth in the discipline, the well-spoken teaching, but who did not completely perfect the pure ethical discipline. They were not completely perfect, and their rituals had deteriorated. Their livelihood had deteriorated and their ethical discipline had deteriorated. Still, their view was straight. They had not been born among the living beings of the hells. They were open. They were, upon their death, reborn in the places where Nagas are born. So here is asking, why now are there so many more Nagas? And the Buddha replies that because of the decline of practice of ethical discipline, rituals, and livelihood, they have been born as Nagas instead of in the hell. And the reason is because their view was intact. Their view was straight. It was the three first things, the ethical discipline, ethics, the rituals, and the livelihood. That had been impure, not pure, but because the philosophical view was straight, they have not at all lapsed in the latter. And just going back to the quote from before, the latter is the last thing that's mentioned is philosophical views among those four. So then when we go to this quote, it supports it by the Buddha stating that they hadn't lapsed in these views, but they had lapsed and not been pure in these first three, and as a result they were born as Nagas.
What is it?
So this is what is stated.
That travels over the Sanji Deva Yobaji, Lenin La Ichi Yobaji, and Pomba Ku, and Rajiz Ganama to Tuat of the Junior Chaba in the New Aljigamaris, Kutawa Tawadiabu, Lenin La Ichi, Ichi Deva.
So there are monks, for instance, who have lost their ethical disciplines, but they still have this faith of conviction in the law of karma and its results and so forth, are said to be, even though they have this downfall of their ethics being stained or impure, and their rituals and livelihood maybe not being as pure, but they're not born in hell because they have this faith of conviction in their correct philosophical view. They're born as Nagas. So there's a lot of meaning within this, or a lot of nature within, meaning within this. So maybe folks have a question? Suchim Choka Dang Sorwa Dawa. Stasha.
Stasha Jawara.
I'm sorry. Just in reading this, reborn in the places where Nagas are born, is that where the Prajnaparamita text was in the Naga realm? That's one question. And my second question is, if I may...
let me ask one at a time.
Okay.
The Lo Asacha, the Parshin, Becha, Ne.
Huh.
The Gombalodru, the Lo Asacha, the Teson. Then Parshin, Becha, Kerson. The Sacha, De.
What the
yes,
is it?
Yes. Where we are, there's many Nagas. The real Naga realm, though, is below. Below in the ocean. Jatso Hua, Jatso Nala. In the ocean. I was seeing if it's under the ocean or in the ocean. The Nagas are very rich. So then there are very rich Nagas, and then there are Nagas who have amounts, large amounts of suffering, and then the others that don't have suffering and so forth. There's many different ones. Nagarjuna went to the Naga realm and was aided by the Nagas greatly. And yes, in answering your question, yes, did go to the Naga realms and carry these Naga realms that are being spoken of and bring the perfection of wisdom sutras. Yes.
Also, may I have an antidote, please, for harsh words? I've seen an instruction to try to visualize people as Buddhas, but I'm wondering if there's any other, please.
The Katsabu Tsi Ducha Nepogare.
Nepa.
Nepogare.
Nepa. Nepo do what the.
Chiran Shira Ducha, the Chiran Yabiomare, the Nepogare.
Yes, it does. Nepa do what the Ducha is logging and Nepo the Nimure is on.
The Nebogare?
Less so.
So thinking about stories like the monk who was meditating, who then went and used harsh words and called names to the people who were reciting texts and called them, they sounded like frogs, and then it was born as 500 times as a frog. Thinking about these sorts of things over and over again will help to lessen, will serve as an antidote to help lessen your harsh words.
What the name is on the ears?
C2. That'll be it. Concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer at Situ. In Jesus, Situ Jesus. Kamachi. The fundamental ground. So we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayers. I apologize. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy, I dedicate all virtue, a bit of the teachings of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khyentse Wondok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shabi Denronan.
No, that's it.
Suglam Rinpoche Mokong Atriyonan.